Are you ready to make your law firm a profit-generating machine that will free up your time and skyrocket your impact? With more than two decades of business growth experience and having proven that you can be successful while prioritizing your family and your impact, introducing the Profit with Law podcast. I am your host, the creator of the Firm Differentiator 10X Effect, Moshe Amsel. Well, hello and welcome to a special edition of the Profit with Law podcast. We're going to be taking a break from our usual programming of interview style sessions, and we are going to be doing some replays of Law Firm Growth Summit sessions from one of our past Law Firm Growth Summits. So if you're not familiar with the Law Firm Growth Summit, in 2019, I started a virtual conference called the Law Firm Growth Summit. We had three events so far, 2019, 2021, 2022, and now we are going to be hosting our next one, 2024, May 21st to May 23rd. You can find out more information at lawfirmgrowthsummit.com. Registration is absolutely free. We bring together dozens of industry leaders and experts. We're actually going to be doing a bonus 2 days after the live event. So 3 days live event and then another 2 days bonus of like pre-recorded sessions. So combined between our live talent and the pre-recorded sessions being released after that, we're going to have well over 50 speakers throughout the summit and so many important topics about regarding marketing, sales, conversions, leadership, team development, financials, you name it. If it has to do with growing your firm, it's going to be covered. We have our information is broken up into tracks. So we have a track that's specifically for the zero to 250K revenue firms, the ones who are just starting up, trying to just get to maximum solo capacity. Then we have a track for those going from solo to 2 million. And then we have a track for those 2 million plus law firm owners. So there's content for everybody at this event. I definitely encourage you to check it out at lawfirmgrowthsummit.com. Today, we're going to replay a episode or a session. We wanted to just give you a sampling of something that you might expect to hear or experience at the Law Firm Growth Summit. So here it is.
Howdy, everybody. I appreciate you guys being here for the key to getting out of the startup phase presentation. I'm going to go ahead and start sharing my screen. We got a lot of content to get through today. I put a lot of effort in this presentation to make sure that it is extremely comprehensive on everything you need to do to get your law firm out of the startup phase and into that coveted growth phase, usually marked as above 500,000, trying to get to your first maybe million or more. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen here. And we're going to go ahead and get rolling. So first, who am I? Why should you listen to me? Well, first of all, my name is Ronnie Deaver. I'm the founder of Noble Marketing. And most relevant to you is I have personally managed over 200 law firm marketing campaigns, generated over 500,000 leads, and about $100 million in new client revenue over the last 4 years. I have touched pretty much every type of lawyer campaign. If you're a personal injury lawyer, I've worked with you. If you're a family lawyer, I've worked with you. If you're an immigration lawyer, criminal lawyer, estate planning, long-term disability, short-term disability, elder law, employment law, both on the defense side as well as plaintiff side, any type of law, I've probably worked with you at this point. I've also devoted myself to becoming an expert exclusively in marketing legal services. So I don't work with plumbers. I don't work with restaurants. I don't work with any other type of person except a lawyer. Now, even more specifically, I work with what I like to call B2C lawyers, otherwise known as business to consumer. So business lawyers, I've worked with them, but it's not really my specialty. I'm really good at anybody who goes to a normal person who's a consumer and says, hey, I need help from a lawyer. Finally, as far as I know, I have started the only marketing company that puts our money where our mouth is by committing ourselves fully to driving your profitability with our 3-month profit and 12-month double or nothing guarantees. Long story short, if we fail with our campaigns, we will refund all the money you spent is on us and money we spent on ads. All right. So we're very sincere. We're putting our own skin on the game. Every client we take, we're sometimes risking upwards to $15,000 or more of our own personal money because we're that committed to only doing what actually works for you. But that's not why you're here. You're here to talk about how do we get out of the startup phase. But before we do that, I have to go through some basic assumptions that we need to cover to make sure that you get the most value out of this presentation. One, you must serve primarily customers in a 50-mile radius, meaning you must be a local-based business. If you're primarily nationwide or anything like that, this might struggle for you. Not to say that it can't be done, but you'll have to think of it in a kind of local market perspective. So for example, I work with IP lawyers, and IP law can be great, but I'm still going to tell you, even though you can technically serve random people in Idaho, we're going to maybe want to focus on creating our focus to start with in a specific city that is a hotspot. So like New York, Los Angeles, Austin, Dallas, any of these are great options for an IP lawyer, but you're going to want to think about it within a local mile radius, not a nationwide perspective, to get the most advantage out of what we're talking about today. Secondly, you and your team must absolutely have a system in place to answer your phone when a new client calls. Now, that may sound obvious, but you'd be shocked how many lawyers I work with when I first meet them. I call their line to see what it sounds like, and the first thing I hear is just a random person going, "Hello, what do you want?" And it's a terrible experience, right? Of course they're not converting very well. But you know, a lot of lawyers, they don't think about it, right? It's easy not to think about that, but that's like your first line of, you know, of defense, effectively. When somebody comes in, right, if they haven't even scheduled a consultation with you yet, no matter how good you are at closing the deal when they talk to you, if they don't convert from when they call you to a consultation, or if you don't answer the phone, so they obviously don't convert, or it goes to voicemail, and so it doesn't convert, whatever the reason is, if the calls aren't being answered, there's no chance that any campaign that anyone suggests to you is ever going to work. We're going to talk about some metrics on that towards the end of the presentation, but suffice to say, your phones need to be answered. Thirdly, your team must be able to reliably convert at least 35% of free or paid consultations into clients. Now, you can get away with less than this, all right? But I like to set a good goal where I'm saying, hey, this will easily make your campaign profitable, all right? This will make you money. So what does that mean? So when you take a consultation, what you want to gun for is roughly one of out every three people you meet with. If you meet with them for 30 minutes an hour, if it's free or paid, whatever it is, you're going to want to try to convert at least a third of them into clients. So for example, my current closing rate in my business is like, say, 60%, sometimes up to 70%. And if you're not at that level, then we'll talk about this a little bit later, but it means you probably have a sales problem, all right? You might have an issue if you got leads that are irrelevant, but probably not. Most lawyers, you know, it's easy to want to blame, say, for example, lead quality or people not having money or anything like that. But in reality, there's often something you can do to either improve your offer, improve your pitch, improve your sales skill, improve your pre-marketing, et cetera. All these things can make a huge difference in getting your consultation close rate upwards to 35% or more. If you can do that, all of your marketing campaigns are going to be way more profitable. 100 calls turning into, you know, more consultations, and more of those consultations turning into more cases are going to get a lot more profitability than those same number of calls, but they don't really turn into consultations, or they don't really turn into cases, right? It's not all about call volume. I love call volume, but you also have to be able to turn those into clients. A little caveat here is it's really important that your average client value is somewhere between bare minimum $3,000, but again, I like to say on the higher end, $5,000. Now, I know some of you guys are in estate planning where it's really tempting to do a fee of, say, $1,500. It's an easy example. And you can do in real estate, it can be a little bit lower too. I get it. But that being said, you're really going to struggle to scale, particularly as a startup, to the 500K plus level if all your products are less than $3,000, or if you're not being able to find some way to get repeat clients or get that client to come back more than once, such that their average client value is worth more. The reason for that is purely mathematical, all right? If you're only selling your product for $2,000 and it's a one and done, you would have to serve over 290 clients, 290 clients in a year, all right? In that 1 year, not next year, you have to do another 290 just to get to 500,000, all right? So the math doesn't really work out in your favor. You don't have that kind of time. You're going to be miserable if you do. And it's just not a good place to be. So as much as possible, I encourage you to make any of your marketing campaigns more profitable, to work your way up to somewhere between $3,000 and $5,000 as an average client value, either by charging more upfront, having a higher tier price, or trying to find a way that you get clients to come back more than once and you make more money over time. All right. For scalability, you're going to want to get to that $3,000 to $5,000 level, unless, and I don't think this applies to anyone here, you're already a big enough firm, usually $1 million plus, that you can take advantage of economies of scale, and you can do it cheap enough that it's profitable enough for you to do, or you already have that much lead flow. If you're in here, though, that's probably not you. So again, I advise having a higher client value as much as possible. And this is kind of an obvious one, but it happens. Make sure that your clients actually like you and are willing to leave a positive review online. That sounds silly, but it's going to come up relevant later. We'll talk about that more. But in short, if any of the above isn't true for you, then you primarily have an intake and sales operations problem, not a marketing problem, and that must be solved first to get maximally profitable results from everything I'm going to show you today. So we're going to talk about all of that in this presentation, but I need to make it very clear. We need to separate our mind into kind of three segments here: marketing, intake, and then the sales process, and of course, also a little bit of your own operations and getting reviews. But you got to think of these each as independent things. So you got to solve them each. All right. So if you're not getting people to answer your phone, that's an intake problem. If you're not converting those into consultations, that's an intake problem. If those consultations aren't turning into cases, that's a sales problem. All right. So if you're not getting calls at all, that's a marketing problem. But the majority of what's going to make this possible is a lot of this is going to be intake and sales. So we'll talk about that more a little bit later. But moving on here. So this presentation is going to be broken down into four parts. So you know what you're getting into. Phase one, we're going to talk about the data. I'm going to prove to you how valuable Google is to increasing your lead flow and blasting you out of the startup phase. So long story short, Noble Marketing was founded on the principle that 20% of what you do drives 80% of your results. All right. And for us, after running 200 plus different campaigns, I tracked leads from everywhere, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, billboards, you name it. I have ran it. I have tracked it. What I discovered was a massive percentage, which I'll talk about later, comes directly from Google. Okay, so for a startup, I highly recommend starting with Google because that's where the majority of your results come from. Put your effort into the 20% that drives 80% of the results. And I'll prove that to you with the data we have here. Secondly, I'm going to go ahead and teach you how to dominate Google My Business rankings and easily generate 30 to 50 new clients every single month. All right, so I'm really big on how do you use Google My Business to generate 30 to 50 new client calls. If I said new leads, new clients, that'd be a bit much, but 30 to 50 new client calls every single month. On top of that, I'm also going to talk to you about how do you understand the two key principles that let you print money. I mean, quite literally print money and new clients from Google Ads. Google Ads can be incredibly powerful. You've probably had a negative experience from it in the past. However, I assure you with the right principles in place, you can use Google Ads to your advantage to print new clients. And finally, I'll end on key frameworks you must implement and key KPIs you must achieve in your intake and sales operations to scale past the $500,000 per year mark, i.e. the goal to get out of the startup phase. And in short, by the end of this platform, this presentation, you'll have a precise roadmap to get your firm out of the startup phase and into the growth phase. Sound good? Nobody can respond here, but I appreciate you guys being here. We'll move on. So the data, guys, let's talk about the data. So 61% of new clients are attributed to Google My Business without ever having visited your website. And this is a crazy stat, and I'll show you the actual data here in a minute. But long story short, if you do a Google search for, say, divorce lawyer near me or divorce lawyer insert any city or estate planning lawyer insert any city, doesn't matter what you type in, most people, 61% of them, are going to look at those reviews. If you scroll down, the first thing you're going to see is ads, and then you're going to see Google My Business, otherwise known as the Map Pack, the 3-Pack, Google Business Profile, a lot of different names. We call it Google My Business. Its new name is technically Google Business Profile. But anyways, that little map pack with all the reviews, 61% of people who call you are going to call entirely from just looking your reviews on there and clicking the call button. They're not going to go to your website. They literally just call you straight from there after reading your reviews. Now, you can see some of that data here. I've got all sources here for a couple clients. So I've got about 4,943 leads tracked, a little about 10 clients. And this is what I've got here for Google My Business. I've got 3,018 leads here tracked. This is from form fills, text messages, calls, everything, right? From Google My Business directly, right? And that's 61% right there. So again, this means they didn't go to your website at all. They just called you from Google My Business. So next up, we have about 11% of new client leads are attributed to people who contact you through your website, but got to you through Google My Business, right? So on Google My Business, on that map pack, when you see the listing there, it has the option to go to the website. And we can track that independently of anything else. So when we do track that, we find that another 11% comes from Google My Business. Again, same 4,943. However, 11% of them come from Google My Business by then visiting your website. So 528 leads. So 11%, giving us a total so far of about 72% just from Google My Business. 72%. That is a ridiculous percentage. This is 10 plus clients across a variety of verticals, all right, tracking everything they get. And 72% of their leads are being directly or indirectly attributed to Google My Business. And we haven't even got to Google Ads yet. That's just Google My Business. Moving on, though, and for the clients who we run Google Ads for, I don't have that for every client, but for the one who does, or the many who do, 8 to 10% of their leads are attributed to Google Ads / local service ads. So again, I have that data available. I have one example case study here. We'll actually show you her later on in this presentation and some more details about her story. She's one of my favorite success stories, but she is a family lawyer out in Houston, Texas. Megan, you may or may not, you're in Austin, not Houston. But anyways, so she has about 870 leads tracked in the last, I think this is a little bit under a year's worth of data. And from Google Ads, about 83 of those were from Google Ads. So that's another 9.5%. If we were to combine those two points together right now, guys, we're at like 81.5%, 82% of my clients' leads are directly or indirectly attributed to Google, either Google My Business or Google Ads, right? The data is just wild, right? So there's that 82%. And it's just crazy. So moving on. But more importantly, why does Google work so well for service businesses? Let's talk about that. Well, number one, Google is designed specifically for helping local customers find local services, especially the map pack. Yeah. We want to go last slide. This one? Oh, no, you want the main slide. Yeah, I love the comments, guys. I do have a timeline, so I'll do my best. Yeah, they're doing PPC. So PPC, that's where I find 10%, 8 to 10% at scale. I mean, you could do more than that, but it's also one of those things where you have to track it, and it gets a little mixed pretty fast. So one of the things that happens with Google Ads is what we find is if we run Google Ads to a landing page, roughly 20% of those people, they're not going to actually convert on that landing page. They're going to go back to Google, and they're going to look at your reviews on Google My Business, and they're going to call you from that, right? So there might be a contingent of people, maybe up to 28% that are, as you're giving that number, who are technically from Google Ads, but tracking that journey can be a little bit strenuous. So the only one I know of right now from our data we have, again, it was hard data from a current client, is roughly, and we have this from multiple clients, roughly somewhere between 8 and 10% on average that we can 100% without a doubt attribute specifically to Google Ads, right? And again, the total from Google My Business was actually 82%. Right, that was this number right here. It was 72% of 61% plus 11%. That's just Google My Business. That's not Google Ads at all. That's just Google My Business. And then again, average 8 to 10% coming from Google Ads. And say what you want, that's just from my pure experience, from my data, our call tracking from all sources. We're tracking their landing pages, their website. We track their social media profiles. We track it all, right? If it's there, we're tracking. We track live chats. We track forms. We track text messages. We track pretty much everything. So that's the data I've got. Can't speak to your data, but that's where we're at. So we're going to go ahead and move on. Oh, yeah. No. Google My Business is literally insane. No, it's actually crazy. I have some. We'll talk about this more. I have some clients right now who get 150 to upwards. I've seen people generate 300 calls per month from Google Business Profile. I mean, it's nuts. It's nuts. It depends on your market, depends on your branding, but I mean, it's a wild, wild percentage. Google My Business is extremely underutilized. Most people don't realize the value that's in it. They don't put that much effort into it. They set and forget it, and they don't realize that they're just sitting on an asset that could be generating. I mean, most people are generating at least 80 calls a month on a fairly small scale, but I have people generating, again, 450, 300 plus calls a month. Just from sometimes even just one listing. I mean, you can expand this even further when you think about having multiple listings in multiple cities. I have some people who have like three locations and that they're just crushing it. So Google My Business in turn, it has that benefit of kind of that organic volume. We'll talk about why later, but Google My Business is just crazy. So yeah, compared to Google Ads, it's not even comparable. Google Ads supports Google My Business in a really wonderful way because it helps increase your brand presence and your brand size as well as getting branded searches. It's an incredible positive loop. So I love both of them together. But no, the volume is always, always Google My Business. Google Ads will never be the volume comparatively unless you're just spending a crazy amount of money. Like you could technically outspend it. You would have to spend maybe $20,000, $30,000 a month if you're depending on how many phone calls you're generating. So like if you're generating 300 phone calls a month right now from Google My Business, you probably have to spend like $30,000 in ads. But anyways, point is it is possible to spend more, get more from ads. But generally, Google My Business is going to be where the volume's at. So we're going to move on, though. I appreciate the question. So why does Google actually work so well for service businesses? Why does that make sense? Okay, well, one, Google is actually designed specifically for helping local customers find local services. That is a huge percentage of the market. They want people to use Google Ads. They want people to use Google My Business. A lot of Google has been designed now, especially lately, shifting people into a local market. In addition to that, and this is actually the most important one, is that user behavior on Google naturally lends itself to being profitable for local services. And what I mean by that is service businesses are in the business of solving problems, all right? And what's the first thing people do when they have a problem and don't know how to solve it? They Google it. It's where they go, right? So for example, I'll give you an example. It's kind of a silly example, but it makes a lot of sense, is that, you know, you can go door to door selling a vacuum, and you might convince some people who don't need a vacuum they need a vacuum. But if you go door to door and try to sell a divorce, you're not very likely to get very many clients. I mean, you might get some, but nowhere near the level of profitability that somebody selling a vacuum is, right? So legal is very much like people either have a problem or they don't. And if they have a problem, they go look for a solution. And ideally, you show up in front of them right when they're looking for that solution. And Google is amazing at that because they're going to go there first when they have a problem. So you want to be showing up there, which is what I basically just said, which is that Google lets you show up in front of someone right when they're most interested in your services. And in other words, when they have a pain point they need solved right now, not tomorrow, not later, right now. Now, I'm going to address kind of a big elephant in the room here, which is, hey, you guy, are you another marketing guru pitching yet another SEO service that doesn't work? And I get your, you know, suspicion when you talk about, you know, PPC versus Google My Business. It sounds crazy. I get it. No, the answer is no, I'm not. We're going to talk about why this is better. I'm going to do everything I can with both data, as I showed you earlier, as well as perspective, intuitiveness, and understanding to tell you why is this actually true. But no, I'm not pitching another SEO service. From my perspective, SEO as you know it is dead, right? What does that mean? So in my experience, nearly 50% of Google searches are devoted to, and the first thing people see is Google Ads and Google My Business. So if I go look an example here, pull it up, is an example in New York City. All right, so 50% of this screen right here is Google Ads, and Google My Business, right? Like that is an incredible percentage, all right? The next is, we'll go back to this. We'll go back to that. Next kind of percentage here is your kind of traditional SEO. All right. So this is your traditional SEO. You'll notice here that a lot of these guys are aggregators. And we'll come back to that in a minute. I'll pull that up here. So if you're going to try to go for traditional SEO, which again is already at the bottom 50%, you're looking at a massive competition against some major aggregators. So if I pull that same search up, one aggregator, two aggregator, three aggregator, four aggregator, all these guys, aggregators, expertise.com, superlawyers.com, newyorkcitybar.com, justia.com, right? These are major players playing $1 million a month, okay? So $1 million a year. Like, you're not going to beat these guys right here. So while you can compete here, right, you can either pay to play up here, or you can show up here on Google My Business, or you can run ads on Google My Business, which are fantastic, highly recommend, or local service ads. You can pay to play here, and you can win here by through effort. But there ain't no way in heck you're beating Justia. And there ain't no way you're beating Divorce Lawyer in New York City. It's just not going to happen. Or these giant aggregators like Super Lawyers. You don't have the money. You don't have, especially not as a startup. So it's not really a viable path. Traditional SEO. All right. And even if you were to beat out those aggregators, this is actually one of the craziest metrics that changed my whole world. Like, I used to be all about content marketing. I used to be all about website traffic and SEO. I used to be really, really big. Is sound dead for anybody else? Can you guys let me know? All right, cool. Thanks, guys. Anyways, I used to be really, really big on content and SEO and getting website traffic. I mean, I ran a website once. I got 1 million visitors a year, all right? And this is what converted me, was I realized I tracked all the data. Again, I track everything. I found out that even if you were to beat out those aggregators and you'd get a bunch of website traffic, bunch of people on your website, on average, and this is on the high end of average, only 1.5% of website visitors actually call you and turn into a lead. All right. So that's crazy. If you put all this effort, you might put years of effort into getting 1,000 extra people on your website every month. And that is literally only going to turn into 15 phone calls a month. Now, that's not to say that can't be profitable, but for a startup business, one, you don't have the time, right? You're talking about years of investment. And two, the volume just isn't there compared to Google My Business, where in as little as 3 months, you could be generating 30 to 50 phone calls a month. I mean, it's just, it's incomparable, right? And again, even when I had a website that was generating millions of traffic a year, I only got a 1% conversion rate, and it didn't matter what I did, all right? So website traffic is terrifyingly low on conversion rate. Not that it can't be profitable for the bigger firms, but for a startup, I don't recommend it. So unless you're prepared to invest for years before seeing an ROI, traditional SEO is a waste of your hard-earned and limited resources. So while the traditional SEO no longer works for small businesses, lawyers who put time, money, and effort into Google My Business and Google Ads are absolutely crushing it. So here's a case study. I told you I'd bring it up. This is Vonda Covington. Actually, the data I was giving you before, over the last 12 months, we actually took her from darn near bankruptcy. I mean, she was pretty close. I mean, she was on loans. She was like barely making any money. She gave me the most crazy testimonial recently where she was like, look, I was dead in the water. All right. In the last 12 months, going from that near bankruptcy state, she was barely generating 10 calls per month, barely 3 consultations a month from somebody selling her SEO. Since then, she has started working with us on Google My Business and Google Ads, and she has generated 900 plus. It's actually 950 really, but 900 plus new client leads in 12 months and is averaging right now 30 plus consultations per month. And she personally signs about 50,000 plus per month in new client revenue. Now, she could do better than that, but she doesn't really want to. Like, she likes her firm the size that it is. She's happy. She's picky. And for the first time ever, Vonda is thinking about planning her retirement. Okay. And she hasn't been able to think about that forever. All right. No worries, Dan. Glad it got worked out. But anyway, so the first time ever, you know, in the last 10 years at least, you know, after being dead in the water, Vonda is thinking about retirement. I mean, that was the data I was showing you before of the 870 plus leads. I mean, she has crushed it in the last year, primarily from Google My Business and Google Ads, actually entirely from Google My Business and Google Ads. And she'd tell you the same thing. So now let's actually kind of get into the meat and bones here of what you guys are here to talk about, which is one, how to dominate Google My Business and Google Ads and generate $25,000 to $50,000 in new client revenue every single month. So when I talk about getting out of the startup phase, again, the goal is somewhere around $500,000 a year, right? Like, that's kind of when you get out of that threshold of no longer being a startup. All right. And so roughly speaking, that's going to be, what's the exact math? I think it's like 44,000, something like that. $44,000 a month is the revenue you need to be generating to get to that level. So this is, you know, depending on where you're at, this might be an extra 25,000 that you need to get there, or up to an extra 50,000 if you're at zero. Right. So that's kind of my general goal, is to get you up to that $44,000 a month, which will take you above that $500,000 per year threshold. So first, let's talk about Google My Business. I love Google Ads, but we'll come back to that in a minute. How do you rank highly on Google My Business? Here are the top two things you need to know to crush it. Now, there's always more than this, but these are going to be the most important things that make the biggest difference. Again, I'm really big on what are the 20% that you can do that has 80% of the results. I like to call it levers. What's the most effective lever you can pull that has the greatest end result, right? So first, guys, what do you think Google likes? Google likes Google. That's it. Google is incredibly selfish. They don't like anything else. So what do you need to do? Google likes itself more than anything else. So how do you rank highly? By doing every single bit of grunt work possible on the Google My Business and or Google Business Profile. Somebody has been accurately pointing out lately. Google Business Profile platform to prove that you love Google as much as Google loves itself. So practically, what does that look like? This includes, but is not limited to, on the profile. And to be clear, most of you probably aren't doing this. I've looked at a lot of profiles for a lot of lawyers, and most people are just setting and forgetting this profile when there is a lot more that Google wants you doing on that profile that you are not doing. And that includes, but it's not limited to, one, making posts, social posts on the platform. It is a terrible social platform. You will never get views on it. You're not going to go viral on the Google My Business platform for your posting. That's not why I tell you to do it. I tell you to do it because Google My Business likes that you do it, and it gives them additional content and context to understand your business, and it helps you rank higher due to the activity and the content. So make posts. Upload photos, same thing. It's a terrible Instagram. Nobody's ever going to like your photo, share it, become viral on Google My Business photos. Again, not the point. They would even be happy with you uploading a stock photo. They just want you uploading something and proving activity. And again, a lot of times they even like it if you post selfies of your team. They like seeing that relevance. But mostly they just want to see that you are an active business that is using their platform to the fullest, and they'll be happy. Yeah, you can actually post videos. So if you have 30-second videos, I think it's up to 60 seconds, but I know 30 seconds you can do. I'm just blanking on the top of the head, but I know you can do 30-second videos for certain on Google My Business. So videos are great. So photos, videos, each of these are very valid things. But again, main reason is not ever because these are going to go viral. It's a terrible YouTube. It's a terrible Instagram. It's not the point. The point is to be active on the platform and to give Google more context of what you're an expert on. In addition to that, I'll show you some examples of what this looks like. Products and services are huge. So if you don't know this, you can upload your own products. Even though I know you are a service, you can still put a visual version of your service as a product, and Google has approved that. That is fine. So for example, for my family lawyer, Vonda Covington, we put things like child custody, divorce, divorce mediation, collaborative divorce. She does some transgender stuff, whatever have you, name change stuff. We put all that on there as both products and services. And if you do it right, for a lot of our clients, we're uploading somewhere between 50 and 100 products and services. Okay. So we are, and each of those products and services have like a little 100-word like description. So we're putting, you know, if you do that math, that's like 5,000 to 10,000 words of clarity, of expertise proven to Google on their platform, in their direct platform, proving to them that we're an expert at everything we do. All right. So adding products and services is a massive opportunity to prove content, prove context, prove that you're an expert in what you do, and load it directly into the profile. Questions and answers. This is probably one of my favorite, most underutilized places, is on your profile, you actually have the option to post your own question and answer it. Right. So you can post it from your personal Gmail and answer it on your business account. All right. So we have clients like Vonda now, who's been with us for over a year. We've uploaded 120 questions. All right. And each of those questions are like 500 words long in answers. So over the last year, we've literally written like ebooks on ebooks on ebooks of proving to Google that we are an expert in everything family law, everything divorce, everything child custody. So of course she ranks highly. She's by far the best expert on that platform. Again, very few people are ever going to read those questions and answers. That's not the point. The point is Google reads it, and Google understands it and like it uses it to understand what you're an expert in and what you can help people with. And of course, actually responding to reviews. You might, you know, think it's obvious, but a lot of people actually get the reviews and don't respond to it. So make sure you actually respond. And minorly, keep your profile up to date. Make sure if your address changes, hours changes, all your basic stuff, actually do it. The next one, before we get to the next one, I kind of give you some examples. The most Google My Business profiles I look like are empty. No wonder they don't rank. All right, so this is an example. Nothing there. Nothing there. Nope. The first one doesn't even have photos. No questions and answers. Nothing. I apologize, Laura Lee. I'll do my best, but I'll also be happy to send these slides at the end if you want. Anybody who emails me, I will send the slides, but I only have 14 minutes here, and we got a lot of content, so I really want to get you the most out of it. So. I'll post my email later and you guys can email me. All right. So anyways, first things up, again, really bad profiles, guys. Like no photos, no posts, no anything. This one has one photo, but no posts, no questions, answers, nothing. These guys only have 8 reviews and a 3.5, but no posts, no photos, no questions, answers, no work. This is what most people's profiles look like. So no wonder they don't rank. Of course not. Most people set and forget this and wonder why it's not working. Of course it doesn't work, right? They haven't put any effort into it. So, what goes into actually getting a robust GMB profile, generating measurable results? So here's an example here. This Covington law firm, you can actually see some, this is posting here. So we're posting every single week. We've got photos. We're uploading a new photo every single week. She gave me a cool photo of her like mountain climbing that did particularly well. It's a little 8-second video that did well. Products, you can see here. So I was talking about, we uploaded all our products. We put it in categories, divorce, family law, LGBTQ, child support and custody. Questions and answers. You can see at this time that I did this screenshot, we had 111 different photos. And of course, reviews and getting actually responding to those reviews, right? Big part of the components. So continuing the top few secrets, guys, the second bit, first bit was do the grunt work. Second bit is reviews. I know you hate them. I know it's hard. We'll talk about how to make it easier, but reviews are 35% of the ranking algorithm. That is a huge lever you can pull for immediate benefit. You can break this into two components. I know, Christian, it's the worst. I know, but we'll talk about it. It's work that pays. I know you hate it, but it's 35% of it, okay? So anyways, there's two parts of that. Review count, which is how many reviews you have in total, and review velocity, which is how frequently you get new reviews. That means Google would rather you get 10 reviews over 10 weeks than 10 in one day and none after that. They really want to see consistency to prove that you are consistently the best result that people have. And on top of that, Christian, to you, review generation is much easier than people think it is. Now, in this little QR code, if you scan it, I do have a video that goes way deeper into this. It talks about exactly how you can automate this. So go into that. I'm not going to go into it in this talk, but scan that QR code. I think it's over here. Scan that QR code, go onto it, click on, we'll talk about how to generate 120 plus reviews a year. It's easier than you think. But on top of it, so anyways, you can actually, and here's the number one tip, guys, is there's a myth. People think they can only generate reviews from people who are paying clients, and that is not true. You can actually generate reviews from anyone that you provided legitimate value to, whether that was through consultations, seminars, webinars, even friends and family you've given free legal advice to. So I've got estate planning lawyers. Every quarter, they go to a nursing home, and they do, say, a presentation in front of 60 people for 2 hours, and maybe they get 5 clients out of it and they're thrilled, right? They get 10 clients, whatever. But what I tell them to do as the end of that seminar, I say, look, ask everyone in that room to leave a review. And they often get 20 reviews from that one seminar that they otherwise weren't going to get because they hadn't even bothered to ask. So there's a lot of creative ways. We have some clients, I'll show you an example. They get reviews on autopilot by asking at the end of every free consultation they do. An automated system we have set up automatically asks after the free consultation to ask for a review. And lots of people, even if they don't become a client, are very, very willing to leave a review because you gave them a good experience and gave them good value in that free consultation. So when you use automation, you can make this a lot easier and it can be totally automated. I cover that more in this QR code. So an example here, Anthony, if you're here, I appreciate you. If you are listening to the recording, Anthony, I appreciate you. I know he's at this event. So he's a good story from 3 reviews to 35 plus 5-star reviews in 3 months, almost entirely automated, and or we did it for him. 4 months ago, he had like a 3.7 rating with only 3 reviews. We actually automated his review request from every free and paid consultation he'd ever done. And now he's pretty reliably on most months generating somewhere between 5 and 10 reviews every month on autopilot. And the key here, guys, I know somebody mentioned this, but the key to getting a high response rate is to follow up at least 3 to 6 times over 10 days via SMS and email, not just once. Most people, they only send it once and then never think about it again. You've got to follow up multiple times to get that response. You got to annoy them a little bit. If you're worried about bad reviews, here's the reality. How many times have you gone to a restaurant that had bad food and you didn't bother to leave them a negative review? You didn't do it, right? It happens all the time. So the same thing is true with lawyers. If you didn't give somebody a distinctly terrible experience or did something unethical, they're just not going to care. They're just going to ignore you or unsubscribe, all right? So don't worry about the aggressive bit. It's worth it. It pays it. It's 35% of the ranking factor. You must do it. So you can see here in this example, he's got 31 reviews on this one and now 6 reviews on this brand new listing, all right? So a lot of progress from him. But when you combine grunt work with review generation, what do you get? One, most service businesses start reliably generating 30 to 50 highly relevant and ready to purchase new client leads per month from Google My Business alone in about 3 months. So 90 days, you could be generating 30 to 50 highly relevant new client calls every single month. Between months 6 through 9, most campaigns are actually able to generate somewhere between 50 and 75 new client leads every single month. And depending on your market size and how aggressive your overarching marketing campaigns are, it is actually possible to reach upwards to 350 calls per month just from Google My Business. But that being said, you can't get there to that 350 number entirely just from Google My Business. Google is not a charity organization. They won't say it directly, but there is a correlation between the highest performing Google My Business campaigns and heavy investment in Google Ads. You can use this to your advantage. Christian, I love that you asked people. Keep it up. Keep it up. So Google My Business is great, but what about Google Ads? I've heard such horror stories. It's the worst. I've wasted so much money. I get it. Let's talk about why that's true. First of all, Google Ads is designed to spend your money. It's not designed to make you money. But here's how you can fix that. One, in theory, Google Ads is great. You can spend money to show up in front of someone right when they're most interested in your service and actively Googling for solutions. But in practice, as you've likely experienced, Google Ads set up automatic tools, or all their tools that let you set up automatic ads, or if you end up using a cheap agency provider, this is where a lot of these horror stories come from, they tend to waste your money, right? Google Ads can waste a lot of money. And this happens for 2 reasons. One, left to their own devices, Google will spend your money on any term they deem relevant. And 2, Google doesn't understand your business, nor what sort of leads make you the most money. So for example, if you cite divorce lawyer, they're going to include terms like cheap divorce lawyer, affordable divorce lawyer, or do I even need a divorce lawyer? Like on their own, Google doesn't care. They're just going to put everything they can possible spend money on. All right. But if you understand these limitations ahead of time, you can flip the tables and reliably use Google Ads to put money in and print money out. Here's how. So the trick to printing money and new clients with Google Ads is twofold. One, go to war with the platform and stop wasting money on clicks that aren't sufficiently profitable. All right, this sounds obvious, but unless you have somebody who's going into the platform and every day or every week going and saying, no, I don't want to pay for this term or that term or the word affordable or cheap or sometimes the word graduate or 2021 or these random things. But like you can go to war with the platform and you can constantly tell Google, I don't want to pay for this. I don't want to pay for that. I don't want to pay for this. And if you do that, you're going to get way better results because you stop paying for clicks that don't turn into money. It's one of the reasons I have kind of a questionable relationship with local service ads. They can be incredibly effective, but at the same time, local service ads on their own will still show up for terms like affordable, cheap, pro bono, low cost, all these other searches, and you can't prevent it, right? So I have a little bit more of a love-hate relationship with local service ads. I love Google Ads because I have full control where I can go to war with Google and say, no, I only want to pay for the clicks that I think are most likely to actually turn into money for me. Step two, you must be able to utilize contextual intelligence about your business to target leads who are far more likely to convert into paying leads. Stop paying and praying is the word I like to use. Okay, so what does this mean? So I'll use an example in criminal law. In criminal law, the bread and butter money-making kind of case is DUI, right? But there's a lot of differences in DUI. And the example I give here is that there's a huge difference between a nurse who got a DUI and random Joe Schmo who has had his fourth DUI and has no money. A nurse, not only do they have money, but if they get a DUI, they lose their license. So they're extremely incentivized to hire you, and they have the money to hire you, right? So whenever we can, we try to go after the leads that are most likely to actually make you money. A nurse DUI, contractor DUI, lawyer DUI, all that makes you more money. In estate planning, for example, I can look at zip codes. I can say which zip codes have enough wealth, right? So if I'm an estate planning lawyer and I don't want to work with clients who have less than $200,000 in wealth, then there's absolutely no reason for me to be advertising in the inner city, right? Probably I want to be advertising in these particular zip codes and suburbs of houses worth $500 to $1 million or more. And you can do that with Google Ads. But again, it requires applying that contextual intelligence and going to war with the platform to make it happen. Otherwise, on its own, none of that happens and it burns a lot of money. So if you've burned money on Google Ads in the past, almost certainly it's because of this. And when you combine those two things together, what do you get? Basically, long story short, you can make it extremely profitable. Two, when you remove wasted clicks and use contextual intelligence to only spend money on clicks that are most likely to turn into profitable paying clients, generally what I see happen is you can generate a client, depending on your market, for somewhere between $250 and $750 per client. Can it be on the higher side? Yes. But generally, this is the range I see that most people are able to make it happen. Somewhere between $250 and $750 per client that you actually get. Again, I've seen it on the higher end for personal injury, but usually that's going to be, say, catastrophic where you're making a lot more money. So it kind of depends on your practice area. But this is kind of the general average I see for a lot of practice areas. And additionally, as mentioned earlier, investing in Google Ads will absolutely help your Google My Business profile scale up to and beyond the 50 to 100 calls per month threshold by creating a positive feedback loop. When people click on your ads, Google thinks that makes your brand look bigger. When you spend money on Google, it makes your brand look bigger. Inevitably, somebody clicks on your ad, they're going to go back to Google, they're going to Google your name, which gives you a branded search. They're going to look at your reviews, which makes your profile do better. And again, you see a positive feedback loop between these two platforms. So do Google Ads and Google My Business do particularly well? But now that you know how to reliably generate an additional 50 to 100 new client calls per month, how do you actually convert those new client calls into the $25,000 to $50,000 or more per month that I promised? And we mentioned this. We're going to talk about sales because, again, it's huge. But what I'm really going to give you, because I don't have the time to cover everything, but on this QR code, I do have a video on how to get better at closing upwards of 30% or more people into clients. So scan this, go check it out. But regardless, the three metrics we're going to talk about, I call them the big three key performance indicators that determine the profitability for any marketing campaign. If these things aren't set in stone, you need to fix these alongside your marketing, because marketing is not going to solve your problem on its own. Big KPI number one. Your average client value should be at least $3,000, ideally $5,000. We talked about this at the start, but if you're only making $2,000 per client, you're going to have to serve 290 people per year to make $500,000, and ain't happening. You ain't got that time. The economies of scale do not work in your favor. Big KPI number two, your intake team must convert at least 35% of calls into consultations. That's the metric, calls to consultations, all right? So if you're getting 100 calls, you really want to be able to have that turn into about 35 consultations. If that's not happening, you need to look into your intake process. You need to look about how you're selling that consultation. If you're doing a paid consultation, right, don't just say it's a filtered offer. You know, just don't use it just a filter. Try to sell it. Yes and no, Christian. And again, I can't go too deep into it, but in my experience, lawyers try to go to lead quality as their problem first, and they never even consider their sales, right? So I'm not saying that lead quality doesn't matter, but I would encourage you to solve your sales process first, because no one teaches you to be good at that. Solve that first, and then you can talk about lead quality. And when you know it, you have a great process for how you take your calls, how you, what script you use. And if you're doing paid consultations, the number one mistake I see people make is they say, hey, it's $300 for the right to speak to me. And I get it, you're a lawyer, you think you're so valuable, but that person doesn't know you, right? You got to make that $300 seem you got to make that $300 seem like it's like the best $300 they've ever spent. So if you're doing paid consultations, you got to make that seem like it's an awesome offer. All right. You got to make that. So it's not just $300 for the right to speak to me. It's $300 for a game plan. So no matter what, at the end of the call, you're going to feel like you know what to do with your case. Or, hey, we're going to assign you a lawyer in 48 hours to talk to you. Or, hey, if you decide to work with us, we'll actually roll that $300 into your retainer fee such that it has no cost. So you can get the benefit of filtering with paid consultations, but you still need to sell it. All right. And a lot of lawyers, they don't sell that consultation like it's supposed to be valuable. So try to strive for that 35% call to consultation ratio and look into how you can do a better job of actually selling your consultations. Big KPI number three, your sales team must convert at least 35% of consultations into clients. Again, same thing here. I do have some frameworks on that. Scan the QR code. I'll pull it up in a minute with just my screen. So it's a little bit bigger. I apologize that it's not scanning well. I've got another one here later. But 35% of your consultations, try to convert those into clients. So by the time they're speaking to you, you need to be able to convert at least 35% of them into clients. I've seen people do 50, 80%, 90% or more. It's very doable. 35% is kind of your bare minimum where economies of scale start to work in your favor. Otherwise, it gets real brutal. So for more on this, scan the QR code. I'll pull it up in a minute to make sure you have it. So if we run the math, if you generate 75 new client calls per month and your intake converts 35% of those calls into consultations, you can expect about 26 consultations. If that is then converted about 35% of those into cases, you're expecting about new clients, 9 new clients every single month. If your average client value is at least $5,000, then you made about $45,000 that month, which puts you right at that $500,000 ratio. Again, this is bare minimum. You could do a lot better than 75 client calls a month. But if you're only doing $3,000, then you only make $27,000. So you can see really quickly how average case value, why that's the number one KPI, because that drastically shifts how much money you're making from the leads that you close. And again, I don't think lead quality is actually the number one reason that you sell a higher price or not. You got to have the cojones. You got to have the courage. You got to have the energy to actually go bald face, ask for that kind of money. Most often, it's a money mindset and sales skill thing that's preventing you from getting that money and that number. Maybe when you're a great salesperson, you can come back and tell me, hey, you know, they only will pay $3,000, but probably you haven't put in sufficient effort or time to become that great of a salesperson. And certainly law school didn't teach you to be a salesperson. So until you know that you're a baller salesperson, I wouldn't be using the excuse that people aren't willing to pay, right? Thank you for the QR code, Lauren. So anyways, the point is, average case of client value really matters. Your call to consultation ratio really matters. And your consultation to close rate really matters. Try to gun for $5,000 in your average case value. Try to gun for 35% for both your call to consultation rate and your consultation to client rate. And get those really dialed in. And if you don't have those dialed in, these are kind of your bare minimum goals here. I really encourage solving that alongside of your actual marketing efforts. Because otherwise, any marketing you do is going to struggle. Because if you're not converting them to clients, it doesn't matter how many calls you get. So if your firm is underperforming on any of these big three KPIs, then in addition to improving your marketing, you must improve your intake and sales operations to achieve maximally profitable results, not from just my campaign, but from anybody's campaign. All right. So any marketing you ever do, if you don't have these three things dialed in, average case value, call to consultation and consultation to client ratio, if those things aren't there, if you're not making the money there, it doesn't matter how many leads you get at the end of the day. You've got to solve that first. But if you haven't, I do recommend trying to solve it as quickly as possible. Again, check out the video in the QR code. But no matter what's stopping your firm's growth, guys, Noble Marketing is ready to help you reach the next level. Whether you're a startup trying to reach your first $500,000 a year or an established firm excited to cross the $3 million mark, Noble Marketing has a comprehensive marketing and intake and sales operation program to achieve your dreams. And like I said before, we put our money where our mouth is. All of our campaigns are backed by a guarantee that literally puts our own skin in the game. For startups who want to help reaching their first $500,000 per year, I actually guarantee that their campaign will be profitable in 3 months or less, or it's free. So much so that I'm saying literally that if in 3 months we don't succeed, I will work for free for 3 months after that, so up to 6 months. And if I fail after 6 months, and this has never happened, but if it did, I will refund all the money you spent on me and all the money you spent on Google Ads. I'm that committed to making your campaign profitable. And the reason for that is our fundamental theory is if your campaign is profitable in 3 months, then you can afford to sustain it for the next 12 months, which is where compounding interest really starts to take effect and your campaign gets a lot more profitable. And for your established firms, anybody who's 500,000 plus and want help scaling to that 3 million mark, we have a guarantee that we'll double your revenue in 12 months or less, or we'll work for free until we do. Literally, I will work for a year extra, however long it takes to make this happen for you. I'm very sincere that the things we do work if you're willing to put the effort in. So either way, we'll work with you to 1, drastically increase your new client call volume. 2, increase your average client value. I do have training on that. 3, improve your intake systems. I do have training and scripts on that. And four, supercharge your sales closing rate. I do have training on that. And most importantly, set you on a path to reliably achieve your financial goals. And here's another version of the QR code. To learn more about our program offerings, schedule a time to speak with me personally for 30 to 60 minutes via Zoom by going to this URL, scanning the QR code. It's on there as well if to book a consultation, or go to the website and book consultation. Otherwise, for anybody who wants to hang out here, guys, I am now ready to take Q&As. I apologize that I used literally every minute I had available to me, but I thought all the material was important and I didn't want to cut it early. So anybody who wants the slides, I do recommend contacting me. My email is, and I'll type it in, it's rdeaver@noblemarketing.co. It's .co, not .com. I want to buy the .com. It's a $10,000 purchase. I'll do it soon. Don't worry. Just trying to get myself to bite the bullet. But .co, feel free to email me. I'd love to give you the slides. I put a lot into it.
The Law Firm Growth Summit 2024 is rapidly approaching, May 21st to May 23rd. And attendance is absolutely free. There's no reason not to register for this event. It is done virtually. You can attend it from your office, from your home, or you can just go to the library, somewhere quiet, somewhere where you can have the space that you need. We would love to see you there. We have over 2,000 law firm owners who have attended each of our events in the past. We anticipate having a similar attendance this year, maybe even more. We're actually trying to break that 3,000 mark. We're doing something unique with this event and creating some unique spaces for you to collaborate and connect with other attorneys in your geographic area and in your practice area. So if nothing else, you might want to come just for the community, just to meet other attorneys and broaden your Rolodex, so to speak, and create opportunities for referral business to flow from you to others and from others back to you in a beautiful reciprocal fashion. We bring together industry leaders and experts. We're going to have over 50 speakers and over 50 different sessions at the Law Firm Growth Summit that you can listen in on and attend. And of course, if you can't make it to all, but you want access to all, after your free registration, you'll be given the option to upgrade to a VIP Plus ticket. VIP Plus ticket does cost some money. It includes recordings of all the events, but also includes really cool swag bag that this year is going to have some really cool stuff. There's going to be a couple of books from some of our sponsors that are being thrown in there, and t-shirt, mug, pens, you name it. There's some really exciting stuff that we send out in these boxes. So if you want a package in the mail, definitely you want to upgrade to that VIP Plus ticket. But regardless, you want to reserve your seat now. You want to make sure you get onto this list because we're going to be announcing keynote speakers. We're going to be announcing other prizes and fun stuff. And you want to make sure that you're fully engaged with this event. You're going to start seeing social media taken over the course of the next 4 weeks as all of our speakers and sponsors and anybody else who wants to help us with talking about this event gets behind it and starts talking about it. So where do you go to register your free seat at the Law Firm Growth Summit? It's easy. Lawfirmgrowthsummit.com, lawfirmgrowthsummit.com. Also, that'll be linked up in the show notes below. Lawfirmgrowthsummit.com. We'll see you there. That's it for this week's episode of Profit with Law. If you have enjoyed the show, please consider sharing it with at least one person. Imagine how many lives we can change if we each shared this episode. Another way to share the episode is on social media. We appreciate your support and look forward to you joining us again next week.